Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. In Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with privacy mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing board or Miro board?
Drawing board. In Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course.
Right again. Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/brainstorm now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more brainstorming tools like private mode and voting. That's Miro.com/brainstorm now.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, next up today, we're going to turn to the European semi-finals because they're about to start tonight as Spain take on France. RTE have had 6.6 million streams of the competition so far. But how does this compare to other years? Well, joining me now is Chief Sports Writer for the Daily Star, Kieran Cunningham. Kieran, you're very welcome. Kieran, these games have been lackluster, to say the least, but what have the audiences been like? Have many people been watching? Who's been watching? And how do the figures compare to other years?
Well, the figures have been huge on RTE, and but I don't think that's any great surprise, because if you look at the 20 most watched TV programmes every year, sport always features, sport always dominates. You know, the toy show would come top, but after that, there's a lot of sporting events. Last year, there were 14 out of 20. If you go back to the last European Championships that I think you can make a proper comparison with, because you'd have to go back to pre-COVID, which is 2016. Now, that was a bit different in terms of viewing figures because Ireland were there. So four Ireland games were in the top 10, but two other of the games back then were in the top 10 as well. And I remember talking to Bill O'Hurley years ago about this, and he said their figures always dip when England go out. As long as England stay in the tournament, RT's figures go up. So whether it's hate watching or something else, I'm not too sure on that. But Mandy, what I think is significant about this is the amount watching on streams. I think that's new. Now, because, for example, France-Portugal on Friday, 571,400 watched on TV. But over 450,000 watched on the player.
That's incredible, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and what I think, like, I was trying to figure that out, and I was thinking, it's a Friday night. I think a lot of people might have been out for the night and had it on their phone, say, at a bar, and just keeping an eye out of the phone, particularly when it goes to penalties and extra time and penalties. And I think that's something we haven't seen as much, that nearly, very close on, around 80%, of the TV figures they're getting on the player as well. And the player has improved. I think that's a factor too, because the player was very glitchy for years. There were a lot of complaints about it. But I think now it's working better. And a lot of people are out and about, or they're double screening. Somebody else in the house might want to watch a film or something on Netflix, and they've got on their laptop or their tablet or their phone, they're watching the match.
That's right. I mean, we're multitasking more and more while we're watching things. So you'd often see someone watching one sports event on TV, tweeting or texting or, you know, scrolling about another event. It's really shown in these figures how big the live streaming now is in sport, isn't it?
It is. And it's also a reminder that... like, this is an era when there's very little appointment TV. You know, most people record things or watch streaming services, and sport is one of the only things that's there. And that's why sport became such a bargaining tool in terms of pay TV. And so when you have free-to-air sport, and the European Championships are, you know, free-to-air, and you'll see that with the Olympics as well, the free-to-air TV sport always gets massive audiences. Like, you'll see Gary Lineker tweeting about that, about FA Cup games, that they have 10 times the viewership of Premier League games on Sky. Because there are a huge amount of people out there that just won't pay for pay sports or paywall sports. So they will watch sport when it's free free-to-air.
Mm. And when these competitions start, you're very often following a team and you might just dip in and out of it when that team are playing. But what about the demographics of who's watching now? Can you tell us about that?
It's pretty broad, but the younger demographic are more inclined to use the player, no, without a doubt, and particularly on phones or tablets. There's an obsession with InSport about getting the younger demographic and with broadcasters. Like that's why you have things like BMX racing and breakdancing brought in as Olympic sports, because there are a lot of sports they think that just younger people aren't it doesn't resonate with them. But football is something, football, soccer, whatever you want to call it, is something that's always resonated with all generations. So there is a broad demographic there, but I think in terms of the player, you're getting the younger audience.
Mm-hmm. And then as the competition goes on, we saw the matches in the earlier rounds are very, very pedestrian. We're going to have Joe Molloy on talking about the match tonight and the semi-final tomorrow night. Does the audience increase as the stakes go up, if you like, as we move into the quarterfinals, semi-finals and finals?
Yeah. Well, when you look at the figures, if you looked at the figures every year, that they come out every December, and it's always finals that are highest. Mm. Whether it's Rugby World Cup, whether it's All Ireland finals in Gaelic football and hurling, whether it's European Championships or whatever. Now, there used to be a thing years ago when you had the old RT panel of Eamon Dunphy, John Giles, and Liam Brady, that RT used to get a spike actually after the final whistle.
Mm.
That some people didn't watch the games, but they go on to watch the panel.
Just tune in for the row after the match.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen as much. But I do think now, something you see is, because a lot of these games are going to extra time, and there's a fair chance now if you go to extra time, very little seems to happen, a lot of games extra time, but there's a fair chance it'll go to penalties. And I think you get the spike as well, that people note that a game is going to extra time and say, oh, we might get a penalty shootout, so they'll tune in then.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, back to the style of play, a lot of them are playing for the extra time and penalties, so we've come accustomed to waiting to see, the final piece is the penalty shootout. Just podcasts, I want to ask you, I don't know if you've done any analysis of this, but just when you mentioned the panel there, more and more we're getting into listening to the commentary really from ex-players about the match themselves. Particularly on those stations like, Sky and ITV with Roy Keane. I mean, they're kind of like more box office than the players now.
They are. And it's actually interesting as well, I think, that a lot more has been demanded of them. Like some of the pundits are paid a huge amount of money. Like some of the pundits, like Thierry Henry was offered a few million a year by Sky a couple of years ago. I'm not sure what Roy Keane is on, but I think he's in a substantial whack for the different gigs he has. But what's interesting about them is they ask more of them than they used to. Like it used to be you just did the game and that was it. But now you're doing podcasts. There's video. There's sometimes Meet the Fans events, etc. You do live shows. That they are. It's a lot broader. The ex players who go into pundering now, what's expected of them is a lot broader and a lot wider than what used to be the case.
Absolutely. Well, Kieran, thank you very much for taking the time to take us through all those figures, which are fascinating. That was Kieran Cunningham, Chief Sports Writer for the Daily Star.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. With its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
For a limited time, visit Miro.com/diagram now and get a free business plan trial to unlock even more features like advanced shapes, dependency mapping, and two-way Jira syncing. Get started today at Miro.com/diagram now.